When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Corey, aka Bayou Benders, alongside Mason Dixon, and this is Habs Night, your hub for Habs content. We've been butchering these intros. Anyway, welcome back to Habs Nightly, folks. I'm your host, Bayou Benders, alongside Mason Dixon. And we have right after the onslaught of the Washington game, we decided to do it after, because why not? And what a fuck up tonight, Mason. First off, Mason, how are you, bud?
I'm all right. Just disappointed, I guess. Honestly. Turned the game off after the second period today. Didn't really feel like watching it, but life's not too bad right now outside of hockey. How are you, Corey?
Doing all right. It's the night before Thanksgiving. If there's any U.S. fans out there, I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving tomorrow. I will not. I will be working a Saints game from what feels like for an eternity. I will be going in. I'll be going to work at 12 when I should be eating food and then taking a nap. And I'll be getting off of work at, I'll probably be home at like 11, 12 o'clock at night, which sucks ass.
Do you get a time and a half down there for the
holidays? Yeah. Yeah. So I'm working. I'm going to make,
that's some money. That's a 12-hour shift. That's some money.
I'll be making almost like $30 an hour, somewhere around there. And then that's with like the, you know, having to work on a holiday shit. Saints nowhere deserve to be the primetime game tomorrow. And I'm not interested in my Thanksgiving dinner being a fucking plate of nachos and a hot dog or glizzy from the fucking Bud Light Zone. But sadly, that's what it's going to be. It's like, oh, Thanksgiving, everybody. All right. You know, but dude, the Bills are going to fucking destroy them, just like the Capitals destroyed the Canadians. And you know what? I think I'm more upset with the coaching staff than I am with the players, because at this point, the players aren't playing to a standard, but how can they with the constant jumbling of lines and pairings? I remember we talked right before Claude Julien got fired. We had talked about how we wish he would just change it up a little bit. And Dominic Ducharme had did that when he first came in. And now it seems like he's not stopping. The assertion of Cedric Paquette, putting him with Ryan Poehling, first off, was how dare you do that after Ryan Poehling had a 2-goal night, and then you stunt his abilities the next night with Cedric Paquette, who the commentators, I had to listen to it. I'm sorry. I had to listen to it. I couldn't even watch the game. I've been so busy today. And the commentators were like, Cedric Paquette has never been the fastest man in the NHL. You know, definitely has lost a step over the years. How can you put him with him and sit someone like Pezzetta, who's, I mean,
provided energy presence, at least been noticeable. Paquette has been noticeable for the wrong reasons.
And then the practice right after recording our last episode, he scores he scores against Montembeau in practice, and like everyone was like screaming. They were so excited for him. Like
Pezzetta, you mean?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Pezzetta. It's how can you sit someone that is like a positive energy in this locker room right now?
No, I agree. A little bit of positivity, though, before we start raining on everyone's parade. Cole Caulfield got his first goal of the year, an absolute beauty. He did have to wait a little bit longer for it, as it did get reviewed.
But I love that he knew it initially. Like,
no, and he batted it out of the – it was just a great goal. So that was great to see. I expect to see more goals going in the back of the net now. Once he's got that monkey off his back, he's going to get going. But another interesting – you know what? Not interesting. Another fucking stupid, boneheaded Ducharme decision. Norlander sat. I have nothing against Sammy Niku. I think Sammy Niku should play more games for the Montreal Canadiens. He's a great defender. He made some great breakout passes tonight. Matthias Norlander should not be sitting. What are you doing? If you're not going to play him, send him to Sweden. I don't want him to be scratched ever. If you're not going to play him, send him to Sweden. It's as simple as that. So that really enraged me, to be honest with you. Is this finally the game that, you know, tomorrow morning we wake up and there's some things, some decisions have been made, some people have been, you know, passed on, moved on from? I don't think it is. It should be.
I mean, I would like nothing more than to wake up having to work, knowing that the front office has been cleared, you know, the coaching staff gone. I mean, why not play seven defensemen? You know, why even bring in Paquette? Why not just bring up Norlander?
Why sit Pezzetta? In reality, right? Like,
it's a bonehead move.
And I don't know. It's frustrating. Montreal did score 3 goals today. Goaltending wasn't there necessarily. I think Allen did let in a few softies from what I saw.
But, I mean, look, I can't even be upset with him. It's his first game back, and it's like everyone kind of laid down in front of him in crucial moments.
I don't even really know what to say at this point regarding the Montreal Canadiens. Like, there are no excuses to be made, okay? And we've been very negative on this podcast lately, and it's out of passion because – like, I don't know how to phrase this, but we're just, nothing's going our way and there's no upside in view. Montreal has played 21 games. We have 12 points. We are officially 29th in the league. Seattle is only a point back with 3 games less played. Arizona is 2 points back with 2 games less played. Even Ottawa, they have 9 points. They've played 16. We're very, very close to being the worst team in the NHL right now. And I don't know, Corey, if you remember this, but you can clip me saying it. It's in one of our episodes. Arizona had the worst opening night roster I have ever seen in my entire life. Absolute worst. And Montreal is... got a worse points percentage than they do. So say what you want to say. Make excuses. Be negative. Like, I just don't know if anything matters at this point. Like, this team is just bad. They're bad.
I believe they said we were being outshot 38 to like 18, 36, 18, something like that in away games right now. And it's
Montreal has the most regulation losses in the league. They have the most losses overall in the league, too.
I mean, I think Arizona just went on like a 3-game win streak 2 weeks back. I mean,
they're on a 2-game win streak now.
We can't even string 2 wins together.
We have 5 wins on the year, Corey.
Yeah, it's ugly. Little bit of positivity, though. That third line, Arturi Lehkonen scores again, back-to-back games.
With Gallagher and Evans pitching.
Yeah.
And Evans also scoring. No, they've been great together.
He's got just lucky, you know, as much shit as Habs Twitter give him. He's got 2 goals and 3 assists in the last 5 games. And I feel like that line has kind of been a bit of our bread and butter. Fuck, man. It's like, it makes me really miss someone like Paul Byron. I don't know, man.
When is he coming back, by the way?
Like, no idea. No updates. No updates. This team
hasn't, they haven't communicated anything.
I feel like the poor Buffalo fans, how they just say that their owners don't care. They don't provide updates. They don't provide clarity into, like, you know, a tough start, a tough year. It's like, fuck, dude, can you provide us with a bit of hope? You know, like the last thing we really heard was that Edmonton was starting to practice again. But I mean, come on, dude, like give us a little more faith, you know. I think Carey Price is still skating on his own. I mean, we just got Jake Allen back, and how do we replay that? How do we repay him? You know, he gets hurt. We fucking almost who ran into him tonight? I think it was Anderson, I think. Someone ran into him tonight, and I was like, oh, my God. He falls. I think his helmet almost came off. I was like, fuck, dude, we really can't be doing this. And it was that that Garnet Hathaway kid pushed whoever it was, kind of set them off, and he fell into Allen. But this has been tough. But thank God we got the third line. I mean, you know, like, tough game. I don't expect us to win against Washington. Washington's kind of bruised up right now, but at the same time, like, we've never really had a good reputation against Washington, especially at Washington.
Well, instead of talking about something negative, because
I want to see Drew and Suzuki Caulfield, please give us that.
Yeah, I want to see that too. Look, I think this podcast has been a little negative lately for obvious reasons. And honestly, it brings me down a little bit too.
But yeah, I want to be happy.
In saying that, you know what? I want to talk about something that I think can bring us a little bit of happiness. Played Washington tonight, Alexander Ovechkin. What an absolute year he is having.
Mm-hmm.
Came into this game with, wait, let me
30 points. Double check.
Was it 30 or 33? Came into this game with 30 points. Now has 33, 15 goals, 18 assists at the age of 36.
It blows my mind that there's people out there that aren't watching hockey right now, even if it's just for Alex Ovechkin or Connor McDavid. Like, if you're gonna complain that there's not the stars like they have in like other sports and shit, like, Alex Ovechkin alone could turn people into hockey. Like, his story and how close he's getting, it is so fun to watch him play right now.
Yes, and last episode I said I hope he scores a hat trick. and instead he got a hat trick of assists. So, little unfortunate, but no, you're funny you mentioned that. He is a superstar that I think can get a lot of people invested in this game. He is fourth all time in goals, and he's looking to put up his best statistical season since 2010.
Unreal.
It's absurd.
Dude, at this point, I want to say that a bucket list for me is I have got to go to a game to see Alex Ovechkin live before he retires. Like, I just have to. Like, my love for this dude really came when I finally was able to draft him in fantasy one year. And then just following him, you know, as he took my team to the fucking championship, just sparked my love for him. And then he goes on to win the cup a couple of years later. I've been an Ovi fan ever since.
Ovechkin might be one of the most decorated wingers ever.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of individual awards,
right?
The Calder, let me just double check here. The Art Ross wants the heart. How many times has he won the Rocket now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It could make it 10 this year. He's been in the league for how many years? He's been in the league. 1, 2, 3, 4. He's been in the league. He's won the Rocket over way more than half of the years he's been in the league.
I think he's been in the league for 12 years.
He's been in the league for 17 years.
Jesus.
He's won the Rocket 10, well, looks like could be 10 times. He's won it 9. So he's won it more than half the years he's been in the league. Now you talk about a dominant goal scorer, a dominant player. Alexander Ovechkin embodies that. He is an absolute superstar. And his twilight seems to be what we're watching is phenomenal. Like, this is one of, he might put together one of the best age 36 years ever. Like, he's got 33 points in 20 games, 15 goals. He's on pace for 64 goals. I don't remember the last 60 goal scorer the NHL had.
Dude, Ovi's had, like, I know it's so weird. I wish we had, like hockey trolls and Paul Leon just to gloat about him. But do you remember, like, early Ovi when he would lay the body? Like, he still you remember does. What he, I know, but do you remember what he did to PK Subban? Like,
oh, he's a wrecking ball, and he's strong. Do you remember what he did to who was it? Was it Nolan Patrick when he was a rookie that Ovi fought in the playoffs?
Yeah, and he dusted him.
And he
No. It wasn't Nolan Patrick. It was Svechnikov, the other one.
Svechnikov, yeah. Yeah. And he knocked him out. Just and give like Svechnikov, I think, was a rookie.
Oh shit.
But he just cleaned his clock.
Dude. Oh fuck. Oh
man. No, he's a phenomenal player, and I'm happy. I'm honestly happy to see him succeeding. It's been a great story this season.
Okay. So question.
I do wish
what's up?
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. What's up?
Well, and I'm just saying he's doing all this too, in spite of the fact that Nicholas Backstrom's
injured. Yep.
Yeah.
His breakfast buddy.
Oh, Backstrom. Did you see that commercial?
Oh, it's amazing.
I think we talked
about it. He's on my life insurance.
Yeah. And you know what? What we talk about Gino and Crosby as a partnership. Ovi and Backstrom might be one of the greatest partnerships ever. They played even in the lockout year. Ovi went and played for Dynamo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Backstrom went with him.
Did he really?
Yeah, he went with him to Dynamo and lit it up. Sick. No, like Backstrom, one of the most underrated players, I think, in the modern NHL era. And when he comes back, like it's exciting to think what him and Ovi are going to do together. But anyway, what were you going to say?
Before I say it, they were my favorite. If you can snag them, the best, doubles, I guess. I don't know the correct term for it. But duo? Yeah, duo in fantasy, like to get someone on the same line.
Oh, because like, one of them gets a point, the other one does.
Yeah. I mean, even him with Tom Wilson for like when Tom Wilson was getting the big suspensions, in between those, him and Ovi were unreal together as well. But no, what I was going to say was, you never know what the lineup's going to look like the next game with this team. What would be your preferred first line right now? Or what you think your best pairing, your best line would be?
For Montreal?
Yeah. If you could shake things up, since that's all we're doing is shaking things up to see what works, what would you think would work best for this team? You don't have to give me all the lines, but just
what do I think would work best for this team? I liked your idea of putting Drouin on the top line. But my idea of the best version of this team, I think, is a little different. I don't think this team's best version of itself has a lot of the players on this roster. I think the best version of this team is where we ship out some of the veterans and just give young guys a chance to play.
I'd like to see, sadly, we probably won't, but I'd love to see Ryan Poehling alongside Cole Caulfield. I think there's just a tenacity and like extra level of want to do better. And I think those two together could elevate each other's game astronomically. Maybe put like Paul Byron on the side, just someone explosively fast that can pass at the same time.
I don't know. I think I, personally, I'm keeping Suzuki and Caulfield together forever. Not separating them.
I think I just want Poehling to succeed so much that I want to pair him with someone that's just going to fucking boost his game.
Yeah, I would put Poehling with a guy like Tyler Toffoli, who's intelligent, can make plays, and knows when to pass, can finish stuff that Poehling's made. And maybe a guy like Joel Armia. I think him and Poehling have played well together. And then, but here's the thing. Like, I think Montreal has a lot of players that can play up and down the lineup. Cause they leave them out, and I'm leaving out Hoffman. I'm leaving out Anderson. Ideally, I like Mike Hoffman. I think Mike Hoffman's a good player. All he does is score goals. Mike Hoffman, I don't really think fits on this team. He's just not here to accomplish what this team has to accomplish. And I was excited when we got him, but I think this team needs to just give opportunities to young guys. And right now, when Hoffman is healthy and playing, which we don't know when he's going to be now, because we hear nothing. I think he's just taking up a spot on the power play that Cole Caulfield or another young guy like Ryan Poehling could take.
I think if we could have secured Hoffman in the playoff run last year, he would have fit better with that team than he would with this team. I just think there was a place for him previously. And now, I don't know. Mike Hoffman only works if we have someone that can stop it from, you know, like the mistakes he makes. And I don't trust the back end that well. I don't know.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Truthfully, I'd love to see Poehling take Dvorak's job. I don't know why they would ever do that, but I think Evans is you can't take him out the third. I'd love to see Poehling get a better chance. And Dvorak, sometimes it looks like he's just not even motivated to play the game. And I don't want to shit on him, but I mean, fuck, dude. It's kind of hard to look past that we brought him in to be the piece that fixes our mistake with Philip Deneau. And all he does is get 60% on the face-off. We need more than that from him, and we're not getting it. So why the fuck is he sitting second, you know, our second centerman? I just don't fucking get it.
No. I agree with you. I think it's weird. But we can't change that, right?
I'm just looking at this lineup, dude, and I'm just like, there's no reason why you don't put the kid who's explosive in and give him a couple of shots instead of the guy who's kind of like falling asleep.
I just think that there's no possible solution to the problem of our lines and this team that can be solved with a simple line change.
Yeah. Also, where the fuck was Kulak? Did they scratch him? Is he hurt?
Was Kulak out too?
Yeah, the pairings was
Sherrod. Yeah, Kulak's injured.
Oh my god,
escaped my mind. Yeah,
I'm sorry. I didn't get a chance to watch that much of the Nashville game, so that I'm guessing it occurred during that game. But yeah, I'm just looking at the pairings right. Well, you know, the pairings right now, and it's. I mean, happy to see Romanov make the second pairing. I believe that he's earning his spot every fucking night, you know, to prove that he is just becoming like an excellent fucking defenseman. Like, fuck, dude. Like, this team is injury prone right now. The coaches are just brain farting left and right. I feel like these lines are made 5 minutes before the game with like a coach who didn't take any, you know, any thought into who we're playing, any thought into forward progression from the previous game, and just, okay, let's just try this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, I don't care feeling looking at this. Poor Jake Allen. Welcome back, buddy. You just got fucking burned 6 times. But before we get out of here, we have an ad read by our friends over at DraftKings. The NHL season is underway, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or a depth deflection. However they light the lamp, you win. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings daily fantasy sports contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code THPN, throw down $1 on any NHL game, and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only. New customers only, a minimum $5 deposit, a $1 wager required, one per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Anyway, I feel like we could go off the rails for a second if there's anything you want to talk about. I mean, I tried to bring up the jerseys last episode. They tried to explain the look of it, and I think they're trying too hard to make it sound good, and it's just not.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Spit and Chicklets put out that fucking meme of, like, I forgot his name, the fucking dude from Crank with the gun to his head, and it's like all the fucking New Jersey players saying that they love the jerseys. I mean, I feel bad because it's created by Martin Brodeur, but he fucking is not a graphic designer.
Did he design the whole thing, or was it just his input?
I don't know, but the fact that they tried to stamp it as his design, I don't know, dude. Stick to being a fucking goalie, I guess. Because, the 21 stripe represents the 21 providences or whatever the fuck it's called for them, cities, or it's parishes here, so maybe counties there. I don't fucking know. They tried to explain, like, every little intricate part is something, and I'm just like, that's cool, but, like, it's an ugly fucking jersey, and I just don't get it.
No, I
thought we were going to see more.
Green. I don't hate it as much as other people do, but it's definitely not a piece of, I don't know. It's not the Mona Lisa, I guess, is what I would say, even though I don't even think the Mona Lisa is that great of a painting, but.
Fucking moron. LOL. All right. So I got it. So fuck that. I don't even want to talk about them anymore. How you feel about Team Canada's fucking Olympic jerseys?
I don't really care, to be honest. I don't care what we're winning, because at the end of the day, we're gonna have gold around our necks.
Oh, Jesus, you guys are fucking tryhards with these jerseys, dude. It's so futuristic, and can't fucking stand it. It's so bad.
Oh, please,
it's so bad.
Have you seen the garbage your team came out with?
Dude, Team USA is also bad. I don't know how
their far worse. They're worse.
I don't think so.
At least our whites. Our whites look
good. Your whites look great. Your whites look good. But your emblem,
It looks like a marijuana leaf had sex with a maple.
It looks like it was like we're really inspired by 2016's Tron film. Like it just I don't like it. It seems like it's supposed to be like a neon sign.
Like I say, it looks like a marijuana leaf fucked a maple leaf, and that was the outcome.
It's a maple leaf on whippets.
But the whole reason that they're different every year is because the fucking IIHF banned having because it used to just be Hockey Canada,
mm-hmm.
and the IIHF banned that fucking logo,
which was awesome. That's you're talking about the one that had like the hockey player inside of it.
The IOC, whatever the fuck, banned it.
Yeah.
Because it's a corporate logo and they're money grabbing. At the end of the day, I don't even think we should be going to Beijing personally. But I don't really care what they wear. It's the Olympics. Like, I've seen a lot of people throwing a big stink about they're ugly. I don't think they're horrible. They're not great, but
a big stink.
It doesn't matter. Like, it really doesn't matter.
Oh shit. No. Okay. So, like, to be fair, I think they've really dropped the ball at making an iconic jersey for the resurgence of professional players in the Olympics for hockey. I think Canada's looks like what you would expect, like a 90s, like late 90s, 2000 era, like futuristic look would look like. And then the U.S. was just like, I don't know. I don't even know why we changed it. We have such an iconic fucking jersey and we tried something new. Granted, I like the back. I think it looks great. It kind of looks like the Canadians jersey when we wore the Blues last year. It's bad. Okay. It's really bad. I think
at least Canada tried something. That is the laziest jersey I've ever seen.
Dude, I don't like that our thirds is just we did the same as our home jerseys, but we just changed the blue. Why is there so little red? You know, when red is the main color in our fucking flag, why do we just shine away from red? Is it because Canada is just red and white?
Canada shines away from white always. Which are two jerseys. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Like, so can you explain what is the part of branching in the black in the Canadian jerseys? Is it just
I don't know.
Just to help with a third? Is it?
I'm not a graphic designer. I like black on red, to be honest.
The Canadian jersey, the Canadian logo with the guy in the middle of it, you know, skating up ice or whatever, and it's like he's inside the maple leaf. When that era of the black, red, and white came out, I thought it was like the best fuck Canadian jerseys to date.
Oh, I agree.
Like, I still have that fucking beanie. Shout out to Dave. Dave gave it to me. I was like, dude, this is so sick. And I hate the little puffball beanies, but I wear that one. I think that's the best logo for Canada for modern times. I think it's the best colorway for modern times. But I understand. You told me something I didn't know. I didn't know that they got banned by hockey shit.
The Americans always have to have a different jersey every year, too. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
The IOC's greedy.
That's stupid as fuck. Dude.
I think that's probably it, right?
yeah, that's good. That's good enough. I hope some of these international teams have fire fucking jerseys.
I'm excited to see.
I feel like Germany and Sweden always have really good jerseys.
Isn't Japan in the Olympics this year for hockey too?
Let me look that up.
I know China is, but I know exactly it'll be a red dragon. thing. But I'm excited. If Japan's in, I'm excited to see what they come up with. But it's gonna be interesting. Like some of the teams, you know, I'm happy for the growth of hockey. I gotta say, I'm really excited to see Canada versus China. I'll be honest. I think that'll be an interesting.
Why you want to see them get fucking scorched?
Oh, it's gonna be brutal.
Okay,
but you know what? Expose the game to a huge market, and you know, growing the game of hockey is important. Like, I think it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see hockey be on a big stage, and
Also, I don't mean to cut you off. Will the women's have the same jerseys, or will they get their own versions?
Because they'll have the same.
Damn it! I was hoping that they'd get something better. Also, dude, I have ESPN Plus, and they're playing all of what's their league called? I should have had this in my notes. Anyway, the professional women's league, they have been having some unreal highlights pop up, and now that I have ESPN Plus, they have every single game, and I've been wanting to watch them. Especially, like, it's been hectic because we just moved into the house and stuff, and then this is a terrible week to try to get any type of work done or leisure time. But I've been wanting to watch some of the women's play just based on, like, I get on my Instagram and it's like unreal finishes or unreal checks. And I feel like I'm almost more excited to watch them than the next Habs game. But let me see. I think this is based on the 2022 qualifiers, I guess you could say. But it's Canada, U.S., Germany, China, Republic of it's Russia, Czech, Swiss, Denmark, Finland, Sweden, Slovakia, Latvia. But then there's also I'm seeing that there is a Japan, and I think it's participating nations. But I think this is just for women's. So maybe they have women's for Japan, but not for the men's. I'm not sure. Either way, I think they'll have a sick fucking jersey.
No, I agree.
So for women's, it's as of now, what I'm looking at, could be wrong, but US, Canada, Finland, Russia, Switzerland, Japan, Czech Republic, Sweden, Denmark, and China.
Okay. Denmark has nice jerseys usually too.
Yeah, they do. Dude, I like the which one that just passed? It's the younger kids Olympics. What is it called? Juniors. The jerseys last year were fire, I thought. Or maybe it was a year before that. I don't know. It might have been before COVID. Nothing really. The timeline from the beginning of COVID to now feels like it's just been 1 year, but we're like going on like 3 years now, I think. Anyway, the juniors that happened before COVID or in the middle of COVID were fire as fuck. Anyway, yeah, I'm ready to roll out. We're rambling. I'm rambling hard. So Mason, you got anything else to say?
No, not at all. Honestly, like I think we said a lot. I think we're just gonna. Better for us to pack it in now. Calm down.
We'll yeah, before better, I start episode, saying stupider shit.
Bigger episode on Monday. You know, I don't know. There's not a lot to talk about right now in terms of.
Yeah.
I guess we're waiting for something to happen.
Absolutely. Hopefully something does happen. So it's Thanksgiving break for the U.S. people. But you know what? Tough loss. But there were positives from it. 3 goals. We haven't really scored 3 goals in a loss at all this season. It might be the first one, actually. But wow. It is. That's sad. Anyway, folks, this has been Habs Nightly. Thank y'all so much for listening. Please like, subscribe, give us 5-star rating. Give us a fucking shout out on Twitter. Follow us at Habs Nightly on Twitter, myself at Bayou Benders. We hope you guys, if you're U.S. citizens, have a great Thanksgiving. If you celebrate that, please stay safe. Don't drive drunk, all of that good stuff. Have a great night. We will talk to y'all soon.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.